We've reached verse 5 in chapter 5 of Peter's first letter. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. In 1965, the British rock band The Who released a single called My Generation. It contained what would become one of the most iconic lyrics in rock music. I hope I die before I get old, they sang. In his early 20s, the lead singer, Roger Daltrey, seemed to express the angst of a generation trying to find their place in the world. Ironically, he's now 72 and still singing the song. The generation gap is an unavoidable part of our culture, our life in contemporary Western society. Popular culture gets rebranded every 2 or 3 years. Technology seems to move forward at a pace we cannot keep up with. Education continues longer than it used to. And then economic factors, short-term contracts, mean that young people can't become independent financially. They take longer to get settled. On the other end of the spectrum, we're told that the UK has an ageing population. The progress in healthcare, longer life expectancy. The generation who wanted to die before they got old have failed to live out their dream. But the generation gap is often found in the church as well. Where there's a vibrant spiritual atmosphere, religion is seen as relevant to everyone. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. You develop virtues in childhood that will serve you throughout a lifetime. Where there is a vibrant spiritual atmosphere, we realize that death is no respecter of persons. It can come to the young and to the old. You could die at any moment and have to give account to a holy God. And so religion is relevant. Christianity is relevant to the youngest and to the oldest. But we don't live in such spiritually vibrant days. It's all too easy for churches to become aging, conservative societies, resistant to change, unable to move on, ruled perhaps by people who can't understand where the younger people are, don't understand the problems they face, the challenges, or the opportunities. The young people are not interested. Why would I sit passively involved in something so antiquated? Religion at best, Christianity at best, is something for my grandma to do. First you play, then you learn, then you work, then maybe you do religion, if it suits you. Well, here in chapter 5 of 1 Peter, Peter has been exhorting the church elders to live as humble, self-giving examples. But in verse 5, he now turns his attention to the rest of the church. He gives this specific command to the younger people. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Because we've got this generation gap in our society, you might be tempted to take these words in isolation and emphasize the contrast between the younger and the elder. In that case, it would appear to be saying, young people, you should be subject to the older people. As you see it, perhaps Peter is teaching respect for your elders. And don't the youth of today need to hear that? However, whilst respect for elders may be a virtue generally recognized as such, it is not what this text is talking about. This text is not in isolation. It has a context, and that context shows us that Peter is still referring to church elders, to the leadership of the church, not to older people in general. We're going to have to do a little bit of work to find out why. So first of all, let's ask the question, what does elder mean? It's the same word as back in verse 1, where Peter calls himself a fellow elder. And yet it could mean older person. Sometimes it means the office of elder. It could mean, technically, an older person. But in these verses, Peter has been talking about church elders, the office holders in the church. And there's a very clear pattern in these verses. First of all, Christ is the example of humble self-sacrifice. And the Apostle Peter follows that, submits to that. But then Peter becomes an example of humble self-sacrifice. And he calls the elders to submit to that. And so here in verse 5, where the younger people are told to submit, who are they submitting to? And they're submitting to the elders, who are examples to the flock. He's following the same pattern all the way through. And that supports the idea that this is still talking about church elders. But secondly, if you look at the whole of Peter's letter, you'll see that he's used the words be subject three times already. You can flick with me if you want, back a couple of pages to chapter 2 and verse 13. Here he says, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him, to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. A subjection to earthly political rulers. In verse 18 of chapter 2, we have these words, servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. And then in chapter 3, verse 1, we have these words, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. Subjection to earthly governors. Subjection to slave masters in that ancient world. Subjection within the home. In each of these situations, the dominant party is given an ethical obligation to care, to promote the good, to promote well-being, to be gentle and considerate. And in chapter 5, we have the same pattern again. The church elders have an ethical obligation. Care for the flock. And so the flock have a corresponding obligation. Submit yourself to that leadership, to that care. Thirdly, we looked at the immediate context and the larger letter. The teaching of the New Testament is helpful here. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6, we're told that an elder must not be a recent convert, or else he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. So maturity is one of the scriptural qualifications for eldership. The maturity required is primarily spiritual maturity rather than the maturity of old age. But spiritual maturity takes time. And so often elders will be older people. That said, the responsibility can fall on younger shoulders. And Timothy is told, let no one despise your youth, but set the believers an example in conduct, speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. This should be enough now to help us understand 1 Peter 5:5. You've got this biblical church. It's not organized like the world organizes things, with a hierarchy of power and exploitation. No, the church is organized as a hierarchy of humility and of example. Under normal conditions, the elders are more advanced in spiritual maturity. In practical terms, that means they're probably older. But they don't hold that position as tyrants in order to get what they want. They're there as examples of Christ-like humility. and doing this, in being an example, in showing people what Christ-like humility looks like. They're showing those who are younger, spiritually younger, physically younger, that God gives grace to the humble. Would you receive grace, these elders say. Well, here's the example. You humble yourself, and this is how you do it. And God will give you grace. They're not just there to teach it with words. They're also there to live it out in a visible way for younger Christians to follow. So that's what elders mean. But what does be subject mean? In a normal biblical church, it means submitting to the elders' spiritual leadership. It's more than just attending meetings. It's something like the picture in Acts 2:42, where you've got the Christians devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. If you like, those early believers were subject to the apostles. They submitted to that regular pattern of worship that the leaders established. They were involved in the church. They were part of it. They came to be taught. They came to be led in their worship and in their prayers. It was not just about attending meetings once a week and then away for the rest of the week to do as you want. No, the word devoted here is a strong word. It's a wholehearted commitment. And not just to hear the words the apostles taught, but to believe them. To be corrected by it, to obey it, to live it out in fellowship with other Christians. So subjection isn't to be in some sort of slavish subservience. Scripture doesn't teach what we would call heavy shepherding. Heavy shepherding isn't in the Bible. We use that term where you've got a pastor or elders, and they're using authority that doesn't belong to them. They're dictating to the church members where to live, who to spend time with, where you spend your money, and so on. And that is very, very, very wrong. It is an abuse of authority. If you ever find yourself suffering in that kind of situation, remember that the Lord also suffered unjustly and seek to follow his example. But you will need to seek outside counsel. If it becomes extreme and unbearable, you may need to look for new pastures where there is a Christ-like under-shepherd. So 1 Peter 5:5 is not about older people being over the younger people. It's not about the masters and the slaves in this dominant, abusive relationship. No. 1 Peter 5:5 is about younger people, spiritually younger people, physically younger people, submitting to the teaching and the leadership that God has given them. This verse is not about reinforcing the difference between the old and the young. It's not about reinforcing a generation gap. Actually, it's about closing the gap. It's about closing the gap between the old and the young. It's about calling both old and young to submit to the same apostolic teaching, to nurture the same identity in Jesus Christ, regardless of your age. It's for the one to help the other to walk in a humble, Christ-like humility. Christianity is exclusive when it says that only the humble will receive God's grace. But it is inclusive when it says that anyone who is humble can receive God's grace, regardless of age, regardless of sex, regardless of race. God's grace is free. It's given to anyone who will humbly come and ask, regardless of what you look like. It means that the smallest child here can learn the secret of knowing God and walking with him. It means that the newest believer here can know God and walk with him. It means that whether you've been a Christian for 60 seconds or 60 years, Scripture calls you to the same humble trust in God. You stand before the same Saviour. The oldest believer, the youngest believer, stands equal before the Lord Jesus Christ. So a biblical church operating in this way would be truly countercultural. It doesn't treat the youth of today as a problem. It doesn't single the youth out for criticism in order to isolate them from the church. No, rather, it deliberately includes the younger people. You're part of the body. You're one of us. You're involved. You're part of this family, young people, by calling you to submit to the same vital spiritual principles. Come to Jesus, young people. All people come to Jesus. That's our unity. That's what closes the gap, the generation gap. Come as, no matter how old you are, if you would receive grace from God, you must come as a little child, for of such is the kingdom of God. When old people humble themselves, God will bless them with his grace. But also when young people humble themselves, God will bless them with his grace. Can I talk for a few minutes to the youngest people here? Children, will you help me? Or just for a couple of minutes, will you stop drawing your pictures? And I'm going to ask you some questions. I need your help, okay? I want to know if you understand this. I don't think I'm going to tell you anything new. All I want you to do is to listen. If you know this already, you can nod, okay? Right, first of all, children, did you know that God likes to give gifts? Do you know that? Yeah? Yeah, we know that. God's gifts are not just for your mum and dad and your grandma and your grandpa. God especially likes to give gifts to children. You don't have to pay for God's gifts. Don't have to deserve them. Don't have to earn them. God's gifts are completely free. Do you know that already? Yeah, no, it's good. And we call that grace. Do you know what grace is? Grace is an absolutely, completely free gift. And God loves to give absolutely, completely free gifts. All you have to do is to ask God to give it to you. Did you know that already? Yeah, okay. Okay. Did you know that the gift God gives doesn't come wrapped up in a box? Yeah, you know that. The gift God gives, you don't put it away in a cupboard. You take it with you everywhere you go. Because God's gift is his son, the Lord Jesus. You know that, right? Yeah, still nodding. The reason you can take this gift anywhere you go is because when you receive it, Jesus comes and lives in your heart by his spirit. And he goes with you everywhere. He stays with you forever. Do you know that? Yeah, I'm still seeing nods. This is great. Do your mums and dads ever tell you to stop nagging? Yeah, yeah, I thought they would. Well, God loves people asking for Jesus so much, you can never ask too much. You can keep asking and asking and asking. If you want to nag, if you're in a mood where you want to nag, you can ask God for Jesus again and again and again. He'll never turn you away. You know that, don't you? Yeah? Okay. Did you know, children, when you receive God's gift, you become part of God's family? Yeah? Do you know that? God's family is called the church. The church isn't this building. It's all the people inside with Jesus living in their hearts. Do you know God's got a special job for you? Every week, what you need to do is come to church, read the Bible, join in the prayers, join in the singing. Do you know that already? Yeah? That's what God wants you to do. And then go home and try and live out what you learn at home and in school. Yeah? You know that. This is great. You know it already. Do you know God wants you to keep doing that your whole life? He wants you to be part of his family, the church, for the rest of your life. Because this is where you belong. This is your family, part of God's family. And then one day to go to be with God in heaven forever and ever. Do you know that already? Yes, yeah, still nodding. Right, children, do you want to know something really, really hard to believe? Really difficult to believe. Some people are too proud to take God's grace gift. Can you believe that? Amazing. God offers them this grace, and they say, I want something better. Can you believe that? Some people, God offers them this gift and they say, I don't need that, I'm okay on my own. They say, I don't like it. They say it's too simple. But they never say, please God. And they never say, thank you God. Can you believe that? Unbelievable. Proud people are not very good at receiving gifts. But children are very good at receiving gifts. Children like receiving gifts. Children like asking God for gifts. And children as young as you can ask God for Jesus. Jesus will come and live in your life, in your heart. That's amazing, isn't it? Thank you, children. Thank you for nodding. You obviously hear a lot more, even when you're drawing. It's excellent. Thank you for showing me how much you know. But now can I talk to the older people as well? Was that too hard to understand? Was that too hard to understand? It really is that simple. God does not demand that you pay. God does not ask you to deserve or to earn by being religious and moral. God asks you to humble yourself. God asks you to confess your sin, to confess your needs, and then to receive salvation from sin in Jesus Christ, absolutely free, a free grace gift. From God to you, because he loves you. And having done that, he asks you to continue humbling yourself, to submit to the spiritual leadership he gives the church, so that you can receive more grace, you can learn more of his love, so you can have grace to change, a grace to grow, a grace to serve, and grace to become more like Jesus Christ. It's not too hard to understand. It really is that simple. And the reason perhaps many of you falter, it's not to do with understanding, it's because you don't like the terms and conditions. You want to come to God with something to offer. You want to earn it. You want to deserve it. You want to think well of yourself. And that is the reason why some of these children or get into the kingdom of God before some of you older folk. Because children understand gifts. Children understand trust. Children are keen to learn. Children are not embarrassed to simply hold out their hands and to receive from God. And the reason many of you remain outside the kingdom is it's not about understanding. It's because you cannot or you will not humble yourselves. I have a commission from the Lord to offer you grace today, but I can only do it on his terms. And Jesus said this, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't fulfill God's requirements. But God can do it. God can give you the grace to turn. God can give you a new life, a spiritual birth. Make you born again. Not in the womb, spiritually born again. Starting from scratch, starting as a little helpless infant, just cast upon the goodness and the kindness and the love and the grace of God. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. What's he asking us to do? He's asking us to be childlike. Not childish, not playing at worship, but childlike, to receive from God the people he's given us, to care for us, to teach us, to feed us. Is it too much to ask you, children of God? You've got nothing that you didn't receive. Is it not too much to ask you to humble yourselves and receive from God what he teaches, to receive from God the leaders he gives you to care for you. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We humble ourselves before the Lord. We humble ourselves before each other. And he promises that he'll give us grace, undeserved favor, free gifts, every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. Will you humble yourself today in response to God's word? Amen. Let's sing together hymn number 897. It is a thing most wonderful, almost too wonderful to be, that God's own Son should come from heaven and die to save a child like me. Hymn 897.